You are listening to the Innovation Channel, presenting insights from senior executive game changers. This podcast series is brought to you by Cluster, the innovation brokers.
Hello and welcome to the Cluster Briefing, a series of podcast interviews created specifically for C-level senior executives. My name is Ian Spencer and our hot topic today is customer management. During the summer of 2015, the use of data and technology in customer management has been a subject of a hugely ambitious global survey. 197 major organisations across the UK and Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Asia and North America have participated. This is one of the biggest and most comprehensive surveys ever conducted into the subject. Joining me on the podcast today are Neil Woodcock and Andy Green, co-founders of the Customer Framework and the authors of this definitive survey. Welcome to you both, and let me start by asking you one very basic question. Why? Why did you undertake such a massive global survey, and what were your goals?
Good question, Ian, and thank you very much for inviting us to take part in this podcast. Well, we've been working in the industry for 25 to 30 years, helping large organisations manage customers. And we've noticed over the last 5 years, probably, there's been a revolution, not an evolution, in how customers and businesses relate. In fact, the whole term customer management is probably becoming obsolete. It's more about customer engagement because it's now more about the consumers managing us through the channels they choose when they choose to do it. So we have to be there to engage with them. Now, we know data and technology is an essential enabler of this. And we wanted to undertake a survey which examined where large organisations were now, where they intend to go in 3 years' time, and what key capabilities they thought they were missing.
And what were the overall findings? Has better data and technology improved customer management, or is business still falling short and failing to engage with customers?
Well, thank you, Ian. We're certainly seeing a strategic intent that's evolving, with most organisations across sectors shifting significantly towards driving engagement from merely focusing on costs and sales. We're seeing that content in the right context, so putting the right message to the right person at the right time through the right channel, is being fueled by an increased focus on using data to drive that precision, as is the ability to apply that targeting across channels and into traditional mass media channels with the use of unknown data and unstructured data, as well as obviously through direct marketing channels. Everybody is recognizing the vital importance of data, but very few are managing it as the strategic asset that they're seeing it as, and very few have a detailed plan as to what data they're going to need, how it's going to add value, and how they're going to use it. All organisations are recognising the importance of data privacy, but they're doing it mainly from a compliant perspective, whereas the leaders are starting to actually see it from a more transparent perspective and looking at it from the customer's perspective, as opposed to just from their perspective as to what they have to do to comply with the legislation. One of the key things we're noticing is possibly a mistake being repeated from the 1980s and 90s with CRM systems, where technology is again being seen as the panacea and people are rushing towards DMP and DSP and ad tech type solutions without thinking about all the people capabilities, the structures, the ways of working that are required to actually shift the emphasis and shift the focus of the way that they go to market. And finally, we're seeing some of the same leadership challenges that have been around for a couple of decades or more.
Let me pick up on the leadership challenges and ask, what are the major obstacles to better business?
Yes, thanks, Ian. When we analysed the research, we isolated top performers from the rest. And we also isolated the responses from executives versus other managers. And what top performers said to us was that leadership competency was lacking in certain areas. And some of those areas have been issues for 25 years or more. So the first thing is, if we want to engage customers and deliver a consistent, trusted experience across channels, across time, then every touch point with the customer has to be effectively an extension of the conversation. We've got to make it really easy for the customer to talk to us and to get what they need from us, whether that be information or product. And the big barrier that gets in the way of that is silo working. And silo working is both at a functional level, where you might have marketing, sales, service, technical support, insight, product development, working separately with their own objectives and their own metrics. It might also be hierarchical, so managers will see a different view of what's going on than the people managing the customers in the call center or the sales staff, for instance. And models of silo working have been around, as you know, 25 to 30 years, yet it's still an issue today. Now, Andy mentioned one of the, I think, big findings of the research is the shift, and it is a significant shift, from an executive focus just on sales and cost to a focus on sales and cost and engagement, recognizing customer engagement as a driver of sales. And we think that the conversations that will be had at senior level to break down those silos now with that engagement focus will be easier. And maybe that'll be one reason why those barriers will break down over the next 5 years.
One of the fascinating revelations of this survey is the critical misalignment between marketing and IT in many companies. Could you just explain and expand on this strange disconnect?
Thanks, Ian. If I could just make 3 points to that. The first is that we're seeing from the research that product-led organisations have much less disconnect with their IT than customer-led organisations do. This is due to the fact that marketers in customer-led organisations tend to be anti-process, whereas product-focused organisations tend to be much more process-focused, which fits much better with IT. Secondly, the IT function in designing its solutions tends to ask for large amounts of time from the business and from the marketers, which the marketing and commercial functions are unwilling to provide. So we tend to end up with solutions that are designed in isolation and without the full input of the commercial people. And finally, there is an inherent feeling that even though accountability is technically given to the marketing and commercial functions, the IT people are blamed when things go wrong, so are reluctant to actually cede responsibility totally. I think one of the other areas is the business is asking for increased authority and responsibility in making decisions around IT, where the IT function is fearful of the fact that should things go wrong, they're going to be blamed for it.
However, this survey does spotlight some outstanding success stories. What are the key lessons we can all learn and apply?
Yeah, thanks, Ian. It does spotlight some outstanding success stories. And I think one of them, if we go back to the leadership challenge of silo working, I think one of the stories that comes out across several of the top performers is the way they've tackled this. Without doubt, there needs to be probably CEO, but definitely C-suite ownership of a cross-silo experience. Sometimes it's the customer experience officer or the chief customer officer. There needs to be that, but that alone will not solve this problem. What will help is developing a customer journey from awareness, so prospects being aware of your brand, through evaluation, conversion, welcoming and onboarding, business as usual, managing dissatisfaction, cross-selling, looking at that journey and saying, how do we need to interact with the customer at each stage? Which functions and touch points are used at each stage and how can they work together? That's a starting point to look at the functions. Underneath that, we can look at the way data can be used to facilitate the engagement from awareness all the way through to advocacy effectively. How can data be used? What data needs to be used? Is it first party data owned by us? Is it second party data owned by partners but used by us? Or is it third party data, particularly in the prospecting side? So the customer journey will look first of all at functions and then we'll look at data. The third aspect which top performers, what we've learned from top performers, is that within any organization there are power bases. There are groups of people that will be resistant to change. And if a CEO or a customer experience officer is serious about wanting cross-functional working, they have to understand the informal networks that exist within their organization. And there are some various techniques around social network analysis which can enable us to do this with inside the organisation. And if we can identify the power bases and the centres of influence, then it gives us much more chance to develop a consistent customer experience across all functions, across all touch points.
Neil and Andy, thank you for these thoughts. It's been a fascinating and very revealing insight into customer management. And thank you, listeners, for joining me on this cluster briefing. If you'd like a free pre-publication copy of this customer management survey, please email us now on innovation@cluster.net. That's innovation@cluster, C-L-U-S-T-R-E.net. I look forward to welcoming you to future cluster briefings, but for now, thank you and keep innovating.
If you would like even more insights, we have prepared a special point of view paper on the whole subject of innovation. For your free copy, simply visit cluster.net. That's C-L-U-S-T-R-E.net. And click on Innovation Channel. You can also browse our website to find out more about Cluster, the innovation brokers.